Well, good morning. It's good to be back again. Carrie and I were trying to think about the last time that I might have been here, and all anyone could say was that my son was about this big. So he's not that big anymore, and he likes to growl a lot when he's not getting his way. So if you hear a growl, just know that's from my little beloved over there. So anyway, it's good to be back with you. I also wanted to lift up, my heart was touched today in sadness and in remembrance. It was announced today that Desmond Tutu passed, and a great worker for peace and for justice in South Africa during apartheid, and has worked so hard since for the Palestinians' cause. And so a wonderful man of faith. He was 90 years old. He lived a full life. But I feel like we've lost a saint in our midst today, last night. So interesting, the day the Prince of Peace dies, is when Desmond Tutu was born, then Desmond Tutu passed. So I just wanted to lift that up as a great loss for our faith community, for the universe, really, for our people. It's good to be back with you. I remember when I had a church full time, that this Sunday, when it always fell the day after Christmas, the only thing worse was when Sunday fell on Christmas, right? That we were just here a couple days ago. So I promise, hopefully this will be meaningful, that it'll be worth that you got dressed and you came out today. But I also think it's good to, especially with little people and all the chaos of yesterday for us, it's good to be reminded of what this is all about. So I invite you to hear this word from Luke, story chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. It's the story of Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the baby Jesus, the child, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all of the peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people of Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, and then the living out of these words, be wholly acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. He wanted to see it in his lifetime, but honestly, he never thought that it would come. This holy and righteous man waiting so faithfully, so patiently for what had been promised to him. He had served his whole life, and he never thought that he would experience it. And then something brought him to the temple that day at the same time that it just happened to be Mary and Joseph, these very tired, dealing, I'm sure, with a growling toddler, their son, and they bring him to the temple. And right away, Simeon recognize God in the Christ child. And I can imagine Simeon's total joy when he took the baby Jesus in his hands, just 8 days old, recognizing salvation and hope had finally come for the world. Now, fast forward to, 2,000-ish years later, to the year 2021, I can imagine Simeon today, looking at all of our gift-giving and the lights, the traditions, the cards, the decoration, the sweets of this time of year. This has to be the year that Christmas has made a difference, he thought. He would think to the people of God that they're going to get out living and living into the hope and the joy and the peace and the love of this season that's offered in Christmas. I can just imagine Simeon today seeing joy in children, the hope of believers, the love of community, the longing for peace and for justice in each of us to come into the world because of Christmas, because of our grandiose celebrations. But as I think about that and I think about Simeon, I think about how much work there still is to be done for us to live into that purpose and that hope and that peace and that joy. There's still work of Christmas to be done. Now, I'm not talking about finding a place for the new gifts we received or the toys that my son got and daughter got, or filing those cards and, you know, all those new addresses, or that task of de-Christmasifying our homes, or putting away the stockings or the lights. Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. But rather the real work of Christmas, that tangible work, getting our hands dirty, making Christ known, excuse me, to all the world. This morning as we were getting ready to come into town and to preach, my wife said, I can't believe it's over. Like, I just can't believe, right? We've been preparing, especially with little people and all the hope and anticipation. I feel like we've been preparing for so long. And then we wake up today and it's the 26th already. But as she said that, I thought, well, I know what my sermon's about, and I know Christmas isn't done, right? Because Christmas isn't a day, it's a season. It's a way for us to live into this new reality, this new hope for our world. And if there's ever been a time, I feel like I say this every year, but it feels like this year, if there's ever been a time, right? When we need that hope and that light to shine and that joy to be realized and that love to be shared, expressed, it feels like this is the year. Now, Howard Thurman, who was a theologian, he said this about Christmas. When the songs of the angels are stilled, when the star in the sky has dimmed, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, that's when the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. And as I reflect on what Howard Thurman said, wrote, I think that that's what Simeon must have seen in the baby. The work of Christmas that beckons us, the life of Jesus that calls us into a new place. Last night, as the night was winding down and our young son was trying to stay up just a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit longer, he kept reaching for another book and another book, and his teacher mom's having a hard time saying no to one more book. He grabs a book. It was like 8:15, 8:30. He grabs an Easter book. Mom, read me this one. Now, two things occurred to me. First was I need to rotate his books a little bit more often, because the thought of Easter on Christmas night, I can't even express how that made me feel. But two was that we're not ready for Easter. Not just because of church staff or because we're here again after 2 days of being here on Christmas Eve, but really because there's work to be done to live into this Christmas reality of what we've been called to do, to feed, to share, to make peace, to work for justice, to visit, and for generosity. And so this week, as we see in a new year, amazing, right? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to say goodbye to 2021. As we see into a new year, as we think about Christmas being gone, remember that the work of Christmas is just beginning for us. To feed a hungry person, to offer shelter to someone without, to forgive, to show compassion, to care, to pray, to read to a child, to offer mercy, to donate, to volunteer. And if someone asks you why you're doing it, just say, it's the work of Christmas that I've been beckoned to. May it be so. Amen.